Robbie Romeiser here. I'm excited about today's program, so excited, in fact, that I've included over 20 minutes of bonus material for you after the on-air portion of Career Callings finishes playing. I trust you will be blessed, as I have been, by today's featured guest.
Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Living the dream. Hope you are too. And welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. I have a fantastic guest on the show today, which is why I am living the dream. Normally, I have my guests via live phone call, but I knew I was going to have so much to learn from this guy that I decided to pre-record our interview, and we're going to play some of that interview here on the air, and the rest of it we'll have as a special bonus section on the podcast version of Career Calling. So I'm going to just start the pre-recording, not only to enjoy the wisdom we'll get, but also to introduce our guest. I'm excited to have today as a guest on the Career Callings radio show, Os Hillman. And Os is president of Marketplace Leaders, an organization whose purpose is to help men and women discover and fulfill God's complete purposes through their work and to view their work as ministry. Formerly, Os owned an advertising agency, but is now an internationally recognized speaker on the subject of faith at work. And he's the author of 17 books and a daily devotional email called TGIF, Today God is First, which has thousands of readers in 105 nations. Os hosts a national radio show, Faith, Work, and Culture, and Os has been featured on CNBC, NBC, the LA Times, New York Times, and many other national media as a spokesperson on faith at work. He is a regular contributor to 1010 Magazine, ChristianPost.com, CharismaNews.com, and Crosswalk.com. Os Hillman, I have to say, I want to be like you when I grow up, sir. Welcome to the program.
Bobby, good to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the Career Callings radio show is all about helping people discover God's vocational calling in their lives and then giving them the inspiration and the tools to live out that calling. And your story absolutely fits with that. I think based on what I've learned about you, your missions is just right in line with that. So let's start with where you are in your calling today and tell us a little bit about the path that the Lord has led you down to bring you to where you are today vocationally.
Robbie, I had a career in advertising for 12 years back in the 80s, and it was a very successful small ad agency, and we, you know, served people like American Express and Steinway Pianos and Thomas Nelson Publishers, and things were going well. And then in the 12th year, my world fell apart after being a follower of Jesus since I was age 22. I was in about 43, I believe. And all of a sudden, a number of things began to happen. And I had a marriage problem. I had a financial problem where I had a Bernie Madoff type of situation in which I was taken for $500,000 and disappeared almost overnight. It was a scam of my investments and savings. And then I had 80% of my business walked out the door and took $140,000 with them. And then I had a vice president take my second largest account. So life, all of a sudden, within 3 months in 1994, radically changed. And I was really hurting and wondering, where in the world are you, God, in this situation? And that ushered me into a 7-year season. I was a committed believer at that time, but I couldn't make sense of that adversity. But 2 years into it, I met a man named Gunnar Olson, the founder of the International Christian Chamber of Commerce. And Gunnar listened to my story. I met him in Washington, D.C., and he said, "Oz, you have a Joseph calling on your life." And I said, "What in the world is a Joseph calling?" He said, "Well, it's a marketplace call, but it's a call that's often signified by someone that goes through extraordinary adversity in their business and personal life, but God will use it for his purposes to be a spiritual and physical provider to others." And so that was a whole new idea to me. And so that day I really walked in the room as a victim to my circumstances for those 2 years, and then walked out with an understanding that there was actually a biblical process for what I was going through, even though I surely had made some mistakes. And Gunnar said that to me. He said, "You probably made some mistakes, but you need to realize the call is bigger than the mistakes." And now, many years later, I've realized that so often the call to our larger story in life and the marketplace often comes with a crisis event. And I've actually written a new book about that whole process and the 6 stages of a call from God. And the first one is that recruitment process. Just like the Apostle Paul, he was struck blind, and Joseph was thrown into the pit, and Luther was, struggling with what the Bible said about salvation. They were all thrust into a, some type of crisis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is your organization doing right now to take those pain points that you suffered and actually live out the mission that God has called you into?
Well, all of those 7 years was an incubation period for me, in which I really pressed into the Lord a great deal, and I began to really study what the Bible said about a lot of different things. But one of the things I began writing in the latter part of those 7 years was a simple daily devotional called TGIF Today, God is First. And it was a simple message that I sent out to friends and associates on my email list. And it started catching on. I would write one a day for over 9 months. And it got on a website and eventually really began to circulate, and there's something like 135,000 subscribers now in 104 countries to that devotional. And that devotional became kind of the tip of the spear for us, and I began writing about adversity, the whole spiritual dynamic of our work life, why so many people segment their lives and their work life. And as I did that, I began to get more and more invitations to come speak and teach on these subjects. And one thing led to the next, and it would take me to 26 countries and, just finishing up the 17th book. So I never dreamed that I would be a writer. I barely got out of English class, but God has a way of turning the foolish things into things he can use.
Absolutely. So people who want to be able to be impacted by your story, they can subscribe to the email devotional, or if they belong to a group that needs a speaker, they can maybe reach out to you that way and have you speak to their group, or buy one of your 17 books there. And are there any other ways that marketplace leaders are actually getting your mission out to people to help them live out their mission?
Yeah, we do a lot of workshops. I wrote a book a few years back called Change Agent, Engaging Your Passion to Be the One Who Makes the Difference. And it's a 20-part video course now. But we also do half-day workshops all over the country. And so we put those on and have people come out for 4.5 hours to be trained. Because I find that very, very few people are really trained to really understand what does it mean to live the larger story of your life and to be a change agent in our culture and to bring the presence of God in the area of our work life, because we've been so dictated to over many centuries to segment our life and create this dualism between our work and our spiritual life.
I'm going to put you on the spot here and see if you can, in 2 minutes or less, summarize the top three things you're trying to teach people at those workshops to enable them to be a change agent in the workplace.
Well, I think first thing we try to teach them is understanding their purpose. Many people don't really understand why God made them. And it's important for you to understand why God made you in order to know how to spend your time and to know how to enter into what God has called you to do. And so that's one thing we teach. Then we help them understand what the Bible says about work. You know, I find that very few people understand the spiritual nature of our work life and why God created work and why we need to know about that. Then we also teach them to hear the voice of God in their work life calling. I find that many people, it's the number one thing people struggle with is, how do I hear God? How do I know it's God? How do I discern direction from God for my work life and my everyday life?
Yeah, that is definitely that last one. A lot of people do struggle with that. I've counseled with a lot of people in my business as well on how to seek out God's calling and how to discern his calling. And I put together a little 4-step video process called biblical decision making, how to make the right decision every time. And I tell you, you're so right. It's so hard for people to discern that. What's the one thing? Is there one key that you teach your folks on how they can know it is God's call in their lives?
Well, I think it has to align with the Word of God, but it also has to align with peace in your heart. You know, I wrote a book a few years back called Making Godly Decisions, How to Know and Do the Will of God. And there's about 10 ways God speaks to us in the Bible. And we must learn to know how God speaks to us individually, because he speaks differently to each of us based on our personalities and our makeup. And so I had to learn, you know, how does God direct me? And so often it's through my writing and through reading of the Word and through circumstances and through people. And, you know, other people, they hear differently. And, so I think it's one of the things that you have to discern, how does God, you know, work with me, and how does he speak to me in situations?
Mm-hmm. We're going to hear more from Oss Hillman on the other side of the break, and I cannot wait. I don't know about you, but I already feel like I'm in one of his workshops, and Mighty Maestro, I know you probably need these lessons a whole lot more than I do, so I'm really glad you're here with me today, pal. Stay tuned. See you in a minute. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
You found Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back, and here is more from our pre-recorded interview with the masterful Os Hillman. Have you ever read the book Great by Choice by Jim Collins and Morten Hansen?
I have not read that.
It is a fantastic book. I just finished reading it myself a few weeks ago, and basically the premise of the book, it's not a Christian book, it's definitely a secular book, but it's very applicable. The lessons can be applied to what we are doing here. And the key lesson in the book is that thriving businesses that thrive both through good times and bad times consistently adhere to what Jim Collins and Morten Hansen labeled as durable operating practices that keep them on mission when the world around them is falling apart. So with that little bit of a setup, I want to ask you, Os Hillman, what is one durable operating practice that you engage in, day out? Or if I can say it this way, one personal habit you consistently adhere to that you would label as a major contributor to your success in the workplace for God's calling that you could share with other people?
I think the number one thing is spending time in God's word and prayer every morning. I started that habit years ago when I was first a believer and it stuck. And so I consistently will spend anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours a day in the morning reading devotionals, spending time with my wife, reading devotionals together, praying together, just making that first part of our day really focused on, you know, seeking God. I just don't see how anybody can be successful without doing that. There's a lot of stuff that's thrown at us every day. And the Lord gives us his strength by spending time doing that. The other thing is that by spending time in the Word of God, you learn to recall what's in the Word of God. You learn how to fight. And, you know, we live in a spiritual battle. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and heavenly places. And so we need to understand it's a war zone that we're in. And so we need to understand that we're also called to exercise the authority that God gives us as believers in order to bind and loose on earth and in heaven, as it talks about in Matthew chapter 5. And I see that a lot of Christians don't understand that side of the Bible, or that side of the Christian walk. When God told Moses to lay down his staff and then pick it back up, he says, now I'm going to teach you now. I'm going to use that staff to perform miracles and to deliver an entire people from slavery. And for many of us, that's what he's called us to do, is use our vocations as an instrument to bring freedom to many people.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you said what you said about how you start your day, because if you're not doing what you just said, starting your day, connecting with the Lord and building your relationship with Him, then it's almost impossible to see what you said at the tail end of your answer, which is the fact that our vocation is our mission field, if I can say it that way. And God wants us to live out the Great Commission through our workplace. And if you're not in tune with the Lord, you're either not going to A, recognize that, or B, be in the mood to do that. And I'm just so glad you said that. It's just so true. So very, very true. I think I may know the answer to this already based on what you've already said before, but just to make sure we have not left any stone unturned, let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were utterly confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if that answer is yes, what happened to make the smoke clear so the career path, the calling path, became evident?
Yeah, I clearly know when that time was. It was during that 7-year season. It was around 1998, and I was really struggling. I had launched a magazine called Christians in Business, but I couldn't raise enough money to keep it going, and I was at a crossroads to know, do I try to go out and raise money for this? Do I go back into building an ad agency again? Do I go into some other area? And so I was really at a quandary on knowing what to do. And so I decided to fast. And I thought this fast was just going to be a day or two. But I said to the Lord, you know, I'm going to fast till you give me an answer. And so I fasted a day, then it went to 3 days, and it went to 6 days, then it went to 10 days, then it went to 20 days, and it went to 30 days. On the 40th day, I was at a conference in Mississippi, and it was a marketplace conference. And in that conference, there was a man who had cerebral palsy from South Africa, and he was a great intercessor. And he came to the podium and began to read a prophecy about a man who was in the audience. And he began to describe my life in detail. And that was a Kairos moment. And he prayed with me about some of the issues I was going through. And he said, no, the Lord's not going to raise up that magazine. But he is going to raise up something that will seem insignificant in your eyes. Well, that turned out to be the TGIF devotion, which I thought was just a little simple thing out of the writing, but it's really made me famous in certain circles because of just the impact it has on people's lives. And so that was a period that I clearly remember.
I am so glad I did overturn that stone. I did not know that at all. And I'm so grateful you shared that story, because I think it is safe to say there are tons and tons of people who are trying the best they know how to serve the Lord in their vocation, but they don't feel like they're accomplishing anything. They feel like they're treading water and not really making an impact for the Lord, although that is their heart's desire. What you just taught me and the folks listening to this interview is that, you know what, when that time comes, quit trying to figure it out on your own. Get in the Word, and if the Lord burdens you to fast, now I got to hand it to you, Os. I'm loving what you did. I can't imagine having enough fortitude to fast for 40 days, and I pray the Lord would never burden me to do that. but I'm so glad you shared that, because that's what it took for you to get close enough to the Lord to bring Him, or to have Him bring to you rather, the answer you needed. And we just need to seek the Lord's face to get the answer for which path we're supposed to take. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. Well, other than the Bible, which I think all of us would agree is the number one book we would recommend to anybody to read, what would be a book you would recommend that that people read in order to be better at their work for the Lord?
Gosh, there would be a number of those kinds of books, but my mentor wrote a book, his autobiography, Gunnar Olsen, called Business Unlimited. And basically, it's a book of stories of his life that are all God stories. And you see the activity of God in his life. And it's really like seeing the Apostle Paul in business in the things that happened to him. So that certainly was an inspirational book for me. I have benefited a great deal from Oswald Chambers' devotionals for the last 40 years. I've consistently read that every morning. And so I think that's it's amazing the wisdom that guy had, and he died at age 43. And yet there was a lot of wisdom that poured out of him. And then he wrote a book that is out of print now called Not Knowing Where. And it's really a book about the journey of Abraham. And I got a great deal out of that book in my own early stages of my own career path. And as he began to transition me into what I'm doing now, there was just a lot of nuggets of wisdom that he wrote in that book. And, I ended up writing this book, Upside of Adversity, From the Pit to Greatness. And that's probably, the most popular book people get from me, because it helps them understand this process of the call of God, and especially with the earmark of adversity that we go through.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the last question I have, and I think it's a doozy. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world and serve the Lord in their vocation?
I would say find a mentor that's willing to spend time with them, that they respect, that they can look up to, that they might even be in a career or industry that they have an interest in. I've had about four mentors in my life. Each one of them had a particular deposit that they brought to me. And if I had not had those people, I don't know where I'd be today. And I find that some young people don't value the input and the sage wisdom of the older people. And I find many older people don't take the time to invest in the younger. And so I think it's kind of a both and there.
That's fantastic advice. And I'm sure people are going to want to be able to reach out to you, learn more about your books, your devotional, and things of that nature. What's the best way people can connect with you?
They can go to our website at marketplaceleaders.org. That's marketplaceleaders.org. And if they want the devotional, just go to todaygodisfirst.com. Todaygodisfirst.com. That'll take you to the same place.
Well, Oz Hillman, thank you so much for your time today on the program. And I know that my audience has been blessed as much as I have by our conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robbie. Enjoyed it.
I feel like I just finished getting a lesson at the feet of a master. And if you feel the same way, I got a bonus for you. We've got some things on the pre-recorded interview that you can enjoy and listen to on our podcast at careercallings.net/radio or via subscription from iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we'll talk about, on the bonus material, Oz's favorite productivity tips, some aha moments he had during his career, and other great clues on how you can pursue God's calling in your life. So careercallings.net/radio. Go check it out, and God bless. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings. audibletrial.com/careercallings. your story, your path to where you are now in your life vocationally. There were several different tough times that you brought up in that summary, but I want to try to bring you in and focus you in on one specific low point in your career specifically. I know you had some things both personally and career-wise that were in that story, but if you could just pick out the worst career moment where basically you can paint a picture for us, maybe help us see the movie of your life. If we were watching TV or a movie, see, bring us to that point in time, to that scene in time, so we are just there with you. Make us cry into our popcorn. Help us to see what that low point was and what lesson the Lord taught you through that worst career moment.
Well, I think it was 1994 when everything began to crash at the same time. My finances, my family, my business. I didn't go bankrupt, but I did get down to from having a career in my early 40s to the point I was able to almost retire if I wanted to financially. And then to lose all of that down to my last $1,000, that was a real moment for me. And then so my business was going, you know, just, it was like a boat with 16 holes in it. And you would try to, you know, repair one hole and you go to the other one and you have to repair the other hole and then another one pop open. It was like, you know, and I actually wrote a book about those 7 years called The Upside of Adversity, From the Pit to Greatness. And I talk about one particular season that's a, seems to be a stage for everybody who has that Joseph calling on their life, and it's called the black hole. And it's usually in the early stages of the process of the adversity. And basically, you can't punch your way out of a paper bag. You know, everything you do turns to dirt, you know, and you just think that you cannot do anything right. And nobody's returning calls. You can't get appointments. You can't make anything work. And it's just an uncanny stage that I've seen countless people go through, in addition to myself. And but I think it was that season where I was just empty and I didn't know where to turn or what God was going to do. I still can't figure out how I got through that period. But the good news is that, you know, 7 years to the month, the Lord allowed me to keep one piece of property that allowed me to sell it in that seventh year for six times what I paid for it. And it totally allowed me to restore all my finances and become debt free. And,
amen.
And that kind of moves me into a new season of, appreciation of being out of the pit. And God would, you know, start having me go to different countries and have me speak and teach workshops and so forth.
So if you were to kind of take the lessons of all that and put it down into one lesson that you'd like my audience to gather from that, what would that lesson be?
Well, I think that failure is often a part of life, and we need to learn what it means to fail forward so that we learn from those lessons. And that, you know, so often I think our adversities are meant to cause a nature change in us, not just a habit change. And so often our crisis periods are designed to remove some of the things in our life that hinder us spiritually and motivate us to go deeper into the soil of God in order that we can know Him better and He'll reveal things to us. I often say God turned messes into messages and messengers. You know, that's one of the things I discovered in my own journey is that He would speak and reveal secret things in hidden places, as it talks about in Isaiah 45:3, in order that we might know Him. And that's kind of what happened with the devotional. And so I think that, you know, God has the ability to turn even the worst crisis into a redemptive storyline. And I think that, you know, only Jesus made plan A in His life. The rest of us, He turns our B plans and C plans into His A plan through His redemptive nature. And in order to ensure that that happens in our life, what we have to do is press in to him with a whole heart, really seek him with all of our heart. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Amen. That'll preach. That'll preach. Absolutely. Well, lest I be accused of harping on the bad stuff only, let me ask you the exact opposite question. What would you say is your best career moment, and what lesson would you want the audience to take from that experience?
Well, my best career moment, I don't know that I could cite one career moment. I think it's been very rewarding to write books and to be able to help people really get their aha moments from my experiences. That's been very rewarding for me. I enjoy teaching people and equipping people. And so when people come out to our workshops, it's great to be able to see their eyes resonate with some of the truths that God has given me through my adversity, and now is helping them to navigate their own life experience. So I think that, you know, versus just one career moment, it's been multiple times of having many of our conferences. We've done many international conferences. We haven't done many lately, but we used to do a lot of international conferences. People come from all over the world, and we would equip them and teach them and help them understand how to really live that larger story of their life.
Well, you mentioned, when you answered that question, you mentioned the term aha moment. And have you had an aha moment in your career? I know you've had several, no doubt, but have you had one particular that comes to mind where one day the Lord just showed you, you need to do this for me, Os, in order to be more impactful for me than you already have been? So if you have had a time like that where you had a specific aha moment that comes to mind where the Lord showed you what to do to make more of an impact for him than you already were, tell us what that was and how that impacted you.
Well, I think probably my most impactful, what I'd say, Kairos moment, which means time, was in 1995, end of 1995, when I met J. Gunnar Olson, the founder of International Christian Chamber of Commerce. And I didn't know anything about this man. And turns out he was head of an organization of 75 nations at that time and was just a very prominent businessman in the world. And this man took such an interest in me and literally became my spiritual father that day, still is today. And he lives in Sweden. And he made such a big impact on me over those years because he was a very kind of a soft-spoken, quiet mentor. We spent very minimal times together, but when we did, they were very powerful. And so I think that, you know, just that one relationship and that one encounter led to so much that he spurred me on to many things I would ultimately do.
Very good. Well, I know as I've tried to study the concept of living out the Lord's calling in our life vocationally, I've learned, I've become very much aware in my own life of what my strengths and what my weaknesses are. And I think one of the things that enables all of us to become better at living out God's vocational purpose is being honest with ourselves about what our strengths and weaknesses are, and focus on our strengths and not our weaknesses. So it never hurts to hear other people who've achieved an impact like you have for the Lord to tell us what you think your biggest weakness is and also your biggest strength to kind of help us on this end of the phone, so to speak, understand or use your story to kind of maybe better understand who we are and how the Lord can use us. So with that, tell us what your biggest weakness is when it comes to your vocation.
Well, I think that one of my Gunnar Olson said to me back in 1995, at the time I was going through, you know, that challenge in my marriage, and I had another relationship that was very challenging. And he made a profound statement to me. He said, Os, you're always going to be attacked. Satan's always going to attack you in the place of your inheritance. And I said, well, that's very interesting. He said, what do you mean by that? He says, well, there's no doubt that you, like Jacob, are experiencing some relationship issues. And I believe that's really because of the call that's on your life, that you connect with so many people around the world and encourage so many people. And that's your call. But you always need to realize there's going to be probably a number of challenges in those relationship areas. And so I've had to learn a lot about that. And a lot of that had to deal with some early wounds in childhood that I had to gain healing for. And so that's a whole nother chapter of my life that I've had to work on and get greater maturity and understanding about. But it's also allowed me to be more effective in helping other people. Because one of the things I've learned is that the very area that Satan does attack you and tries to penetrate your life, if you have victory over that area, that is going to be an area that you're going to have your anointing in to minister to others. And it'll actually be payback to the devil for all the pain he caused you. And so that's a spiritual principle that was worth the weight of gold in understanding that.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So and just to make sure I understood correctly, would you say then that your biggest weakness is when vulnerability to being attacked in your relationships, or was there another weakness in particular that has you've had to address in order to have more of an impact for the Lord in your workplace?
Well, I think it, quite frankly, was more to do with the way I was raised. It didn't foster really the ability to share feelings and communicate verbally.
Gotcha.
And those are two qualities that everybody needs to be able to do. But just because of the nature of how I was raised, it caused problems as I became an adult. And so God sort of took me into that wound and brought healing to that in order to be really an effective communicator. I mean, I was a very shy person, but today I speak to thousands of people. I've spoken to Promise Keepers 3 times, and here I was one of the most, biggest introverts as a young man. And so God, takes our weakness and actually makes it a strength if we'll allow Him to, and we press in and gain the healing we need in some of those areas.
Yeah, absolutely. What about your biggest strength on the other side of that coin? What's your biggest strength in the workplace? What natural gift has God given you to enable you to do the work He's called you to do?
Well, I think in the area of spiritual gifts, it would be leadership and kind of an apostolic leadership. And what that gift does is it can see the big picture. It can see the horizon. And often can see trends before they happen and sees how to get things done. And so I think I'm like a builder, but I'm also a very strong networker in pulling people together to accomplish a task. So those would be my primary gifts. And then within that is the writing. And so years ago, I discovered that my purpose statement, or why God made me, I put it in the form of a statement, and that is, God made Os Hillman to be an articulator and shepherd of foundational ideas that lead to transformation. That statement was true of me before I was a Christian, as a golf professional, and then as an ad agency owner, and now as a Christian leader. To articulate and shepherd foundation ideas that lead to transform lives.
And I tell you, that is such a clue to our vocational calling. If we can do what you have done and take the time to figure out what natural strengths God has given us. That's going to be some self-introspection, also some feedback from some friends and some family. That's a huge clue to the type of work that the Lord has called us into, because if He wants us to do a specific thing, He's going to give us the natural bent and ability to do that thing. And, you know, it sounds like you discovered that at a very early age. You said you had written that statement down before you even got saved. I think you said you got saved at 22. Is that right?
Well, I got saved at 22, but I didn't discover that until I was in my 40s.
Oh, okay.
I had a woman who was on my board who was an executive with Transition Leadership and from South Africa, and she helped me understand how to develop your purpose statement and understand how God made you. And so I actually created a booklet, Discovering Why God Made You, that allows people to actually go through that process and do the exact same thing I did.
Gotcha. Yeah, fantastic. Share a productivity tip. One productivity tip that you use to on a daily, in the trenches, in the daily grind, keep yourself focused and more productive in achieving the work God has called you to do.
Yeah, well, that one's easy. I think that, you know, a lot of people ask me, how do I write a book? And if I have a book to write, I'm very disciplined about writing it from, say, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. And when I'm on kind of an assignment to do that, it's really hard to get me off of that. I stay very committed to the timeline of writing. You know, I know that I'm not much good after that, after 8 in the morning. My most creative time and energy time is that period. And so I will really be very focused and disciplined in writing during those periods until it's finished. And so that's something I think is just a gift from God. I run into people who procrastinate and just can't seem to, you know, kind of get off the dime, if you will, to actually do their book. And I actually wrote a book this year called So You Want to Write a Book. And it's a small little 60-page book that helps people grapple with this idea of actually writing a book and getting it out.
Well, I think I'm going to buy that book. I need that for me. Absolutely need that. But I tell you what, I took two takeaways from that. Number one, it really boils down to discipline, making a decision to do what you're supposed to do for the Lord and sticking to it. But even more so, another lesson that I heard you share is understand when you are the most productive. You know, I too write a daily devotional, and when I first started doing it, I'm a little bit more of a night owl. I kind of stay up a little bit later than average folk, and maybe get up a little bit later than others. And I tried for the longest time to write late at night when, you know, the family was in the bed and there were no distractions. But I found myself consistently taking an hour and a half, maybe sometimes 2 hours to focus on a short 500 plus minus word devotion. And it just took a lot of time because I couldn't stay focused. I finally figured out, start writing first thing in the morning. Whenever I got up, make that the first thing I would do. And normally I can write the same devotion in 30 minutes, maybe 40, because I'm more focused and more attuned to that. Whereas at the same time I was doing that, I was trying to do my workouts in the morning. And I hated life, but I love working out at 10 o'clock at night because that's when I'm energized to do it, not first thing in the morning like some other people. So from our productivity standpoint, we need to understand, for lack of a better way of saying it, I hate to say it this way, but I don't know of any other word to say it, our biorhythms, so to speak, and plug in the right work for the Lord, to be most productive for the Lord in those times. You ever had a time when you were just fighting the Lord? He was calling you in a certain direction and you just didn't want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that real quick.
Well, I think that there have been times where I just didn't feel like I was the right man for the job. There was a time years ago where I had there was a conference that was done And the organizers of the conference did a really poor job, and they were really got really financially, you know, suffered from it. And I was kind of irritated myself. And then I was sitting next to the organizer of the conference, and all of a sudden I hear this thing in my spirit, give her $1,000. And I said, well, I knew that wasn't my thought, because I would never want to give that person $1,000 based on what they just did.
Yep.
So I, one of the things I realize is that so often whenever something pops in your head that would not be your natural thought, it's a good chance God is speaking to you. And so I had to be obedient to that. But I think that as I get older, I'm 63 now, as I get older, I'm a little more challenged on the things that I'll be involved in or not be involved in. And I have to be careful just not drawing conclusions instead of praying into it adequately.